We have no amendments to today's agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda.
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I would, yes, motion carried. We had the minutes, copy the minutes of October 21st. Any corrections or changes to those?
No.
Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
There is none, Mr. President.
Any correspondence from council?
Just about pending zoning cases, but I don't think we want to hear that right now.
Okay.
But they're not, and it's not something we take in right now.
Some point in time, we should probably talk about a petition that was presented to each council member this morning, I believe, regarding poultry houses and the way they are taxed. If you're not familiar, I believe you'll find the petition on your desk that we can talk about later. That's all. Thank you.
On my desk.
They arrived this morning.
School taxes, wasn't it?
School board.
Yeah.
School taxes, right?
Correct.
They're state taxes advance.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm just wondering what.
Well, we are in charge of assessment, and it's something that I think would be appropriate for a future discussion.
Sure. We have two wastewater agreements on consent agenda. Wastewater agreement number 626-2, Sussex County Project 8104. Swan Cove Phase 5 in the Fennel Collins Sanitary Sewer District, and Wastewater Agreement Number 996, Sussex County Project 81-04, Bay Pines, and then Golden Neck Sanitary Sewer District. Any questions about these two?
Has there been any conversation or correspondence on any of them?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
Yeah, okay. I haven't had any.
I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make that motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I would, yes, motion carried. Mr. Mark Isaacs, come on down.
It's Mark Isaacs.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Good morning, Council. Ladies, how's everybody? First off, I want to take this opportunity to thank the council, just like we do every year, for the tremendous support that you continue to provide. The Carville Research and Education Center, as many of us still call it, the old substation, out on Route 9. So on behalf of the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, and especially us in Georgetown, thank you for your continued support. We've been getting a little over $69,000. From you all, and that goes to support our cooperative extension programs, our field crop research programs, our poultry research programs, which includes not only Lasser Laboratory, but some specialized poultry research projects that we do, and then our safety programs as well. And I'd just like to take this opportunity, number one, to thank you all for your continued support, and number two, be happy to answer any questions that you all may have regarding the support that you provide.
Any questions
us.
Of council?
No.
Mr. Isaacs?
Phillips. Has there ever been the discussion of a College of Agriculture unit down here in Sussex County, a campus of some sort that would be an extension of the University of Delaware's College of Agriculture that's currently
well,
in Newark?
Well, that's an interesting question, Councilman Phillips. The university at one time was talking about a campus in Lewis, but that was the university, not specifically the College of Ag. And really, when you look at our facility down there, we kind of consider ourselves an extension of the campus for the college, because not only are we doing research and extension programs, but we're also teaching. For example, myself, I'm actually teaching two courses, and we do it through our distance education, which is the ITV, interactive video conferencing. And this year, for example, I'm teaching a new course called Understanding Delaware Agriculture. And so we've got some students from Del Tech, which are in the associate arts program. I have 8 students there, and then I have 15 students that are on main campus. So for 23 students for a first course offering, it's pretty impressive. And we're doing field trips and stuff, so I kind of refer to us as really an extension of the college as far as a campus down here, because we used to just be doing research and extension work, and now we're actually teaching.
Yeah.
And Gordon Johnson, our extension vegetable specialist, is also teaching.
I guess the idea would be maybe this could evolve into a mini campus that could allow students who are from farms down here to remain on the farm and take courses locally, get their 15 credits or however many that they typically would in a semester, without having to either commute to Newark or live in Newark.
Right.
But do you see that in the future?
Well, actually, Del Tech has that two-year ag program. And UD, what they used to do when we were in school, they used to call it the parallel program, mm-hmm. where you would go 2 years and then you would migrate up to main campus. And now what they did a couple of years ago, they created the associate arts program, because what was happening, some of the students were going 2 years here, were getting up to main campus, and they weren't matriculating, they weren't graduating. So what the university decided to do was create an associate arts program, and we have a matrix worked out with Del Tech. So it's kind of, we're working together with them. So if you have students, for example, that want to go to the university after their 2 years at Del Tech, we actually accept credits, course credits, from students that are taking coursework at Del Tech, and vice versa. Del Tech actually has, I've had some students in my class that are from Del Tech. So it's a nice little cooperative relationship, really. And to answer your question in a nutshell, Vance, I think it would probably, with the way the economic times are and stuff, it probably wouldn't be real prudent to duplicate what Del Tech's doing. Probably to continue what we're doing is work together, mm-hmm. and help these students, you know, that want to stay down here for the first 2 years. The other pitch on that still doesn't answer your question for the last 2 years. But what we've been doing is we've also been trying to do more problem-based learning and internships. So we're trying to work with students down here. And, you know, there is some benefit for students to experience another location, you know, as far as broadening their horizon, so to speak. You know? But the cost, I know, is prohibitive, I know.
What about the internet down here? Is it adequate for your purposes for teaching people down here?
That's another great question, because in the rural areas, no. Mm-hmm. You know, there's been, I think Bill McGowan actually did a study with broadband,
right.
And the rural areas is a challenge. Matter of fact, some of our 4-H programs, when we have our leaders, our county leaders, depending on where they are, they don't get the best broadband, you know, mm-hmm. Verizon coverage.
They'll have to go over to the library to sit and
right.
watch it, and that's right. kind of limited how many can do that. Yeah.
But we're also, Vance, going back to, for you, we're also doing some online classes as well. So that, you know, that helps. You know, with
if
that
they
piece.
Can get online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions? Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for coming by. We appreciate
sir.
It.
Sir, thank
good
you.
You.
Thank you.
Lawson.
Thank you, sir. A couple of items of business this morning. The first being a proclamation. Sussex County Council proclamation proclaiming November 2014 as Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month in Sussex County. Whereas in 2014, an estimated 46,420 people will be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer in the United States, 35,590 will die from the disease, and pancreatic cancer is one of the deadliest cancers and currently the fourth leading cause of cancer death in the United States, and is projected to become the second by 2020. Pancreatic cancer is the only major cancer with a 5-year relative survival rate in the single digits at just 6%. When symptoms of pancreatic cancer present themselves, it is generally in late stage, and 73% of patients die within first year of their diagnosis, while 94% die within 5. Approximately 130 deaths will occur in Delaware in 2014. Pancreatic Cancer Action Network is a national organization serving the pancreatic cancer community in Sussex County and nationwide through a comprehensive approach that includes public policy, research funding, patient services, and public awareness and education related to developing effective treatments and a cure for pancreatic cancer. Pancreatic Cancer Action Network and its affiliates in Sussex County support those patients currently battling the cancer, as well as those who have lost their lives to the disease and are committed to nothing less than a cure. The good health and well-being of the residents of Sussex County are enhanced as a direct result of increased awareness about pancreatic cancer and research into early detection, causes, and effective treatments. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Sussex County Council hereby proclaims the month of November 2014 as Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month in Sussex County. Signed, Michael H. Vincent, President, dated October 28, 2014.
And there's someone here to receive this proclamation?
Yes, there is. We have some representatives here to receive this proclamation. I believe they've asked Councilwoman Deaver.
You present his door?
Yes, I would, because I know those people. Yes. Thank you. Well, it's been read, I'm glad.
Good for you doing this.
Yes, thank you. We really do appreciate this. As the statistics stated, it really is a deadly disease. And any awareness that we can generate will help with support for research and better situations for the patients who are suffering from it, and hopefully a more rosy future for those who are dealing with this.
Some do recover.
Some do. Oh, absolutely.
I'm a 6%. I'm 16 months survivor.
Wow.
So far.
Good. Good.
Had the Whipple operation in July of last year. Been through the chemo, been through radiation.
I'm glad you're here.
And I feel very blessed to
for
be
many
here.
Reasons.
Yes. Yes.
You're welcome. Yes. Thank you.
Is part of your success story early detection, or?
I believe that I was one of the, well, they tell me I was one of the lucky ones, because only 20% of people can have the Whipple. So I turned to jaundice and immediately went to Johns Hopkins and was told I was a candidate for the Whipple, which is a horrific surgery. They literally take you apart and put you back together. If you ever Google the Whipple, it's a terrible. They say it's one of the worst surgeries ever. It's worse than open heart surgery. So they have to put you back together and hope everything works. So my 7-day stay in Johns Hopkins turned into 5 weeks. But everything was going wrong, but I got through it and fought it, and I'm hoping that I'll continue on. My life will be a series of CAT scans now every 6 months to make sure it hasn't reoccurred or metastasized. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
In other words, the Lord is on your side.
I'm sorry?
Other words, the Lord is on your side.
Yes, prayers, and I was very moved that you opened the session with the 23rd Psalm, because it certainly meant a lot to me when I heard that the minute I came in here. So
doctors that I talked to say they did the operation, but God does the healing.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item of business is the discussion of a carrying capacity study. I'll make a few remarks, and then we'll move on to the discussion. Recall, Councilman Cole has introduced the idea of analyzing select areas of the county through a carrying capacity study. Today's discussion will focus on the basic premise and scope of a carrying capacity study. Said another way, we'll discuss what exactly is a carrying capacity study. We are joined by Vince Robertson, Assistant County Attorney, and Mr. Kyle Gulbronson, who is a local senior project manager with the firm URS Corporation. Mr. Gulbronson is located in Millsboro, and we asked him for his services to provide information regarding a study, what a study entails, and what we will receive from a study should we agree to do one. Kyle's background, he's had 25 years of assisting Delaware communities with zoning, land use planning, open space issues. He works currently as the municipal planner for Rehoboth Beach, Georgetown, Millsboro, Millville, Dagsboro, Frankfort, and Fenwick Island. Well, his local knowledge is one of the reasons we asked for his assistance.
Good choice.
I will give a little intro, and then we'll ask Kyle to come forward and answer any questions. The goal of a capacity study is to analyze current available capacity of existing infrastructure within a specific study area and evaluate their ability to accommodate additional growth. While a capacity study can encompass all types of infrastructure systems, including parks and rec, emergency services, main focus is typically on sewer and water systems, stormwater, and transportation systems. Completing a capacity study can assess an infrastructure system's current conditions, any existing or potential deficiencies, needed changes in service levels, and where investments should be made. The end result is a document laying out the current inventory of infrastructure systems and their functioning level and evaluating their challenges and opportunities. These types of studies can focus on the community as a whole or a few individual smaller planning sub-areas. The capacity study is a tool for the community to use to discuss how best to address growth and the infrastructure needs that come with preparing for major growth while preserving quality of life. That concludes my introduction. I'll ask Mr. Gobronson to come forward. Kyle, thanks for joining us today. Mr. Robinson is here, too. we've analyzed this idea of a carrying capacity study. We've met and discussed this with Kyle. This is no more than just an introduction to the idea. Should we move forward, obviously we'd have additional steps involved. But if for discussion purposes today, if you have any question, he's the resident expert. Kyle, if you have anything to say before we get into any questions.
Just thank you for inviting me here today. I think you know, the discussion regarding capacity studies is a good discussion for the county. I think that in Sussex County, we have a lot to preserve and a lot to protect. The quality of life that we enjoy here is very, very important. Some people feel that maybe we're losing some of that because of overdevelopment in certain parts of the county. I think a capacity study is a tool, it's a planning tool, really, that the county can use. It's a proactive planning tool. It seems like not just here, but everywhere in the country, planning is sort of reactive, if you will. You really don't analyze things in depth until you actually get a planning proposal in front of you. And then you go, oh my gosh, what do we do about roads? What do we do about sewer? What do we do about this? Can the schools accommodate any more growth? What a capacity study does, it enables you to develop up-to-date information regarding all of those types of infrastructure and what impacts of new development might have. It's good for county council as a tool for you to use to make good decisions based on development, but it's also good for developers as well, because once a capacity study is done, this information is in place. A developer can look to say, I want to develop in that general area. What am I going to have to do? What improvements will I have to make? What improvements to the roads and sewer and water systems will I have to do as a developer? So it gives both parties, both the governmental entity and the developer as well, good information in which they can move forward with. One of the other issues, I think, when we're dealing with Sussex County, because we are such a big county, we're such a diverse county, it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of development scenario or planning scenario. I think what we really would need to look at, and you know where the areas are, we have areas that have development pressures and development problems. I think you would have to look at doing small area plans or area capacity studies based on areas that have like problems or like infrastructure to get the best result from that. But I think really you should have a copy. I think there's an example from Portland, Oregon that was provided. That's a very comprehensive, very large capacity study. Something of that nature probably wouldn't be appropriate here, but I wanted to give you that as a sort of an end-all be-all of what a capacity study can be. They can be tailored to a specific area's needs. I think the Portland study looked at a whole host of different issues, and some of those could be looking at education, provision of health services, leisure activities, emergency services, EMS, community services such as libraries, social services, transportation, and then the hard infrastructure, if you will, water, sewer, electric, things of that nature. You could tailor a capacity study to your individual needs. It wouldn't have to be all-inclusive as that study was done. But I believe that the entire county wouldn't need this type of planning, but I think the areas were experiencing a lot of development pressure. I think this is a good tool for the county and would be very beneficial for everyone. One of the good things is that your 2007 comprehensive plan actually talked about doing area plans for certain parts of the county. This would play directly into that. Really, a capacity study is an area plan. You're doing detailed planning for key areas of the county where development pressures are strong. Should the county decide to go in this route, doing capacity studies, that could be built into your next comprehensive plan, which will be going through that process starting in the next year or so. So that's an overview, if you will. If I can answer any questions, that would be...
Well, it could be done anytime, couldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. This could be done at any point. Mm-hmm.
And you could also find that you have quite a lot of capacity and that you didn't realize you have, and it might be a good place for development.
Yeah, you may be surprised. I mean, that's what these plans do. You might find that an area that you thought may be on the edge in terms of development actually has more capacity than you thought and is available to accept new growth.
Yeah.
So it might not have you might not find the problems are as bad as you think they are.
That would be good.
But this worked very well for the old saying goes, treat people like you want to be treated. Now, let me give you an example. Say that you bought a piece of property down in one of these developments. You say you don't want no more. You're already overloaded. And you bought a piece of property, but your neighbors all ran before you and got moved in. Then they looked this thing over and said, well, we're already loaded. You wouldn't be able to develop. Would that be treating you right?
Well... You bring up a good point. That is a good point. I think what this type of planning would do would provide good information for people. It's always, you always hear the story about I'm the first person on the lake and built my house there, and I don't want anyone else to build on the lake as well. But
unfortunately, that's the way it works.
That's the way it works. But this type of planning would have all of the pertinent information out there so that when that next person comes, and regardless of whether we like it or not, they're going to have to do certain things. The information's there, and they're aware of that ahead of time and know what investments they may have to make to be able to make that happen.
So you go back to say, you better be first. If you're last, you're going to be in trouble.
So
he's got to get rid of this land somehow, somewhere up front.
Mm-hmm.
He can't hold it as an investment because automatically the government's against him.
Well, hopefully, if this was done correctly, and it's a shared resource, if you will, there's shared improvements that have to be made, it wouldn't be just geared towards one individual property owner that, everyone would have to share in the improvements that would need to be made. That's if everything's done correctly. So there are difficulties, but I think there are some benefits as well.
And that leads us to our opinion, what is done correctly. See? I mean, it all boils down what is really fair. That's the what it boils down. How would you want to be treated if you were the last one? That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to pay a lot more for development rights and all these other things and all these regulations? Added to your expense and to the point you say, well, the piece of property is not even worth it. But yet you saw up the road here about 50% had moved in and developed and went on with no problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for the majority of the county, those issues wouldn't be as much of a problem in the rapidly developing areas closer to the beach. Developers are going to have to do those things anyway. I mean, Delta's going to require that they improve the roads. The county's going to require that they improve the pump stations or whatever to provide the sewer. I mean, so those things have to happen. I think in the areas of the county that aren't developing as rapidly, these issues wouldn't be as much of a factor. But, I agree with you that, it's not always fair.
Yeah, I live in a rural area and really not, I've saw it developed probably 3 or 4 times what it was. And certainly my son would just almost resent seeing people buying up farmland and moving them around us.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I say, is it fair for them to say they cannot move because we live here?
Right.
and they own the property too.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the point. I think if a person owns a property, they have some property rights. And if you're not careful, we'll lose that property rights.
Mm-hmm.
And they have as much, and since they are to have almost as much property rights as the first one that moved there.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless if you're first or last, it's still, if this guy decides he don't want to build in 20 years or 10 years or 5, why should he be penalized because he did wait?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think
change.
This type of planning would give the county and the agency providers good information so that they can plan to accommodate that development over time.
Meet more restrictions.
Are you done, Mr.?
Go ahead. Yeah. Sure, George.
Most of what I think Sam's talking about is it's a lot of times it's market driven. The guy who doesn't develop is because there's no market for his land. Now, maybe 20 years it is. And we've been doing, Sam, they've had to accommodate sewer, water, transportation. They're paying for that. But I see this as being a tool, that guy he's talking about that could look at something like this, or a developer thinking of buying his land, he would know what he's faced with. And he would maybe be able to tailor his development before he went through a big, long process, spending a lot of money, and then finding out after the fact. So in other words, it's going to give him some upfront information, which will save him money. It'll help with this new economic development director when people are looking at our county and they want to bring maybe manufacturing or other things. They can look at things. They'll see where the infrastructure is. They can tailor all the things. Information never, is a frightening thing, and it's always positive. The question I would have is, and I think the way I see it happening, is our land use plan, once it was adopted, it's an ordinance. An ordinance is law, correct? Correct. Even though we put in some wording that said it was a guide, it's still a law. Okay, so there was a reluctance on past councils to, get stuck in something, one of these documents, these plans. So on this, being a care and capacity study, it can be a guide. Could it not be, right? And not be put in ordinance form, then there's no regulations. There's nothing going with it. All it is information. And I can't imagine, Sam, that that somebody who owns land, even though 20 years has gone by and he didn't want to sell all these years, and all of a sudden somebody comes along and say, the market's right now for this place to be a development. Well, then he'll know if there's a sewer capacity. If there isn't, he may have to spend X amount of dollars to get the sewer capacity. Then he's going to say, well, it's not economically feasible now. In other words, it saves people money. It gives us information. It gives them, like you said, it's a two-edged sword. Everybody benefits from it. When we bring on a new planner, it'll be something that he'll be able to work with. When we do our land use plan, it's going to save the people we hire probably a lot of money, because we're not going to do the whole county, but we are targeting, I hope, what I see it is targeting the congested areas, the problems areas, and we all have them. Seaford Laurel, with that traffic going through there now on 13, we have Millsboro's got issues with maybe some development area in that area. Of course, Route 24, Route 26, Route 54, Route 9. So, throughout the whole county, we've got Milford coming into Sussex County. We could easily find, and that's where we would, I think, the debate should be, is if you think it's of value, it's going to be a good tool, something we can use. I think the public will see that we're trying to address some of these development pressures.
Yes.
And would probably be very supportive of it. No regulations. It's not an ordinance. It's a guide. So this time we would have a guide that would not force you to vote a certain way. So if you come up with good reasons, but I think the developers will like it. I think they'll find some information from this, because when I look at what the overview of that Portland thing, which is extensive, I can't imagine we'd do anything like that, but it says that the document, report documents the condition and capacity of the city's primary infrastructure. Now we just insert county instead of city. But it looks at sewer, stormwater, parks, recreation, all these things, all the things that people look for. So, again, I don't see how you could feel threatened by it as a council person. I think it's just nothing but beneficial. So, but the key would be is if we got the staff to come in front of us, the next step would be what would be the scope of a study for Sussex County. Not this, Sam. We're not talking about doing what Portland did. So that's just something they're giving us as an example.
Oregon's probably one of the most liberal states there is, so that'd be a good example.
And, well, I'm just saying right up front, they've got an extensive one here. we would, I don't foresee doing that, but I would like, I think I have confidence in the staff, Mr. Lank, our attorneys, and Todd, and people to come up with a scope.
I'm not sitting here talking about any staff, George. I haven't mentioned bad things about any, what the staff's done. I'm just asking, is it fair to treat people different than other people?
Nobody, this isn't treating anybody.
I didn't go to a long speech here about who's fair and who's mistreated or that I have anything held against you. No, I asked you simple questions.
Right.
Is it fair? Is it more fair that the one that got billed first doesn't have to meet any of these requirements, yet the last one comes in, has to meet all these requirements, the government, sewers, all these other things that comes in, and he has to spend 10 times as much? Is it fair?
Well, I think
that's the question I'm asking.
Mr. Cole did bring up a good point that what these plans are, it's information. Mm-hmm. It's information that everybody can use, from the developer to the county. And one of the things that you should know as well is that once these studies are done, they have to be updated frequently, so the information is relevant and current, so people have that good information in which they can make their business decisions on.
So would people have maybe a better idea if they buy homes in a new development? Would they have a better idea of what might happen to the AR land all around them? Because sometimes it becomes different.
Not necessarily, because you have your comprehensive plan, and this doesn't change your comprehensive plan. The zoning shouldn't be changing drastically in any certain area. Again, what this capacity study would do is just provide relevant information about what the area might yield based on the current zoning,
mm-hmm.
And what the status of the infrastructure is and what the improvements that may be needed to accommodate any new growth.
Well, I hear that word all the time, infrastructure, all the time. It's an issue.
Mr. Phillips?
You mentioned our current land use plan referenced mm-hmm. something, not a carrying capacity study, but something similar.
Yeah, your comprehensive plan talks about one of the ways to address rapid development would be to do smaller area plans.
Mm-hmm.
And this information would fit right into that. Say you chose to do the Milford area just out of the air. To do an area plan, if you will. The information developed in the capacity plan in terms of all the infrastructure and services would fit right into that and could be used to address land use issues. You know, does the land use have to change or what the land might accommodate? So they would go hand in hand, I think, in that smaller area planning work that you would have to do. And then that could be incorporated into your upcoming comprehensive plan.
The county currently is responsible for certain infrastructures. Mm-hmm. Wastewater is a primary one when it comes to budgeting.
Right.
We currently do capacity studies with respect to the infrastructure that we're responsible for. Is this duplicate? Does this create a duplicity?
Well, I think like you're right. You're not responsible for all the infrastructure that a developer would have to deal with. I wouldn't say it would be a duplication. I think a capacity study would enable you to update that information more frequently than you probably would on a normal basis. I'm just speculating there. I don't know that to be a fact. But typically, unless you have development applications before you, that's kind of when most municipalities look at what they have in terms of sewer or whatever, as opposed to being more proactive and, say, every 2 years go and do an assessment of what the capacity might be and how much room you have for growth. It's just a different way of doing it, being more proactive as opposed to being reactive.
But with respect to the county, I think we have an ongoing study. We mm-hmm. hired a firm to do the North Coastal Planning Area.
Right, for sewer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question begs, is this more appropriate for the state to do since they're the ones in charge of transportation and other infrastructure needs?
Well, they would definitely be involved. DLDOT would be involved in the process, but County Council has the ultimate land use approval authority, so ultimately it comes back to you as the approving body.
Yeah. I guess the challenge, I guess the reality is we create comprehensive land use plans as far back as Mr. Lank probably can remember that says where growth is going to go. We've mm-hmm. designated commercial zones. We've designated residential development zones. And yet the state does not seem to respond to this, these plans. We're going to do another one. It sounds as if in your presentation that would again say there are needs, and once again, the state probably will ignore those needs. Why should we spend money to do that?
Well, I think, like I said before, this would be a tool for you to make good decisions with.
Yeah.
That's always going to be a problem if the state doesn't want to do a certain thing, and you're at odds with them. But this would give you backing to make that argument with them to say, this is what's happening in our community. This is what we need to have happen. We can't accommodate any more growth that the state may be pushing for unless certain state agencies come forward with some planning and some money. I think it's just leverage for you to have to deal with those state agencies.
What was the net result in Oregon when they did this? Did it accommodate or did it slow down?
I think it's just relevant information for them to make good decisions.
But I'm saying,
decisions.
What was the net effect in reality?
I couldn't answer that directly.
Okay.
No.
That's all, Mr. President. Thank
Dan.
You.
Yeah, I just got one last thing to follow up on, Mr. Phillips. Right now, we rely, basically, when we have a zoning application in front of us, we rely on all the state agencies. And there's been a lot of criticism from the public many times that they're not giving us sufficient, documentary evidence and whatever, up-to-date stuff. And a lot of it is, I think, the state lacks the funding to do a lot of this stuff. They're shortchanging, I think, a lot of it. But we're required to rely on state agencies. I think this study, and if we did end up doing it and going forward with it and updating it, we could. That's all to be determined. Nothing's set in stone here. It just today with this discussion. I've been talking about it for a couple years. We finally got it to the point where we've got it on the agenda to discuss it.
Right.
I would propose that we would ask Mr. Lawson to come up with a way he could, and maybe with our guest here today, to come up with a format or an overview of what we would do, what would be good for Sussex County, and then we look and have another conversation on it. In other words, to discard it at this point would be crazy because it sounds to me like it helps the developer, it helps the citizen here in Sussex County, and a lot of people are getting fed up that, you know, or think that the county's not doing enough.
That's right.
They don't understand sometimes the relationship between the state and the county, and that relationship is at odds sometimes, like you just alluded to. So, again, it gives us another tool. It's going to be helpful. It's going to be helpful for economic development. But put together something that you think that would be appropriate for Sussex County, tailored to this county, and maybe even pick out 4 or 5 or whatever troubled spots and use those as an example of how it could be helpful.
The area.
So, I mean, I there's no time frame on this. I just think that if we could keep moving in this direction, it would be nothing but positive. I haven't heard anything here today, any reason why we shouldn't do it, or at least look and see at the next, an outline, what we should be doing. So
is it called for in the land use plan?
Well, it's suggested in the land use plan. I don't know if Vince could address that. It, even though it's in the land use plan, does that mean anything? He alluded that there's some reference to it.
Yeah,
I don't.
It's just the sub-area plannings so. Are just, well, they're referencing the comp plan and encourage, just like Mr. Benson
right.
said.
I have a town, Lewis, they're looking very much into planning an area far outside of their town. Mm-hmm. And how do you do that? Now, this is something that would really be helpful. And it takes some of the angst out of it. I think if you have numbers, you know what you can do, what you can't do. And if you can't do something, maybe you can figure out a way to get it done otherwise. Do you know what
I'm
saying?
Well, and that's a good point. What these studies may indicate in areas like the area around Lewis, if there are capacity issues,
mm-hmm.
and a developer really wants to develop there,
right.
he knows what he has to do to make
right.
that work.
That's my point.
Right.
I think we're being a little hypocritical here.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm saying that, the state doesn't have the money to put in infrastructure, and yet they're in Pittsburgh and all these other places, come to Delaware. What we should do, instead of saying come to Delaware, maybe we should, the way we're talking here today in court and listening to some of these councilmen here, Maybe we're put a gate up and say, we're full to capacity. We don't need any more. We're full. We don't need the roads. I can't get down the roads anymore. I have to stop the stoplights. I stop one stoplight, and the other stoplights, I have my road, and both of them stopped. And I just can't move. I can't move farm equipment. I mean, if this is really what you want to do, stop capacity, let's put the gates up and say, hey, we're full to capacity. I went yesterday to the mill. Got there, sorry, we can't take you. We're full to capacity. Maybe we ought to try it on some. Stop advertising to bring people in here. If we're full, stop advertising. Stop wasting my money on this dumb advertising and spend some of it on the roads.
Well, that's what these studies may show. They may show that, you know, we can't keep encouraging growth and development. We're trying to bring industry and things here, and if we don't have the infrastructure to support it, we need to find a way to make that happen.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest.
Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Not a problem. Thank you.
It's new information to a lot of people, I think. We'll need time to think about this so that people can make comments to Todd as to what they'd like to see if it's moving forward.
Thank you. Thank you, Kyle, very much for all your help in doing this. Appreciate it. Thank you, Council. Okay. Last item of business for me is the County Administrator's Report for October 28, 2014, item number one. A reminder that there is only 1 year left for 1 week left, excuse me. A reminder that there is only 1 week left for students to participate in the election year scholarship contest. As in elections past, students are asked to predict which candidates will win office in the 2014 general election on November 4th. Students 18 and younger who live in Sussex County are eligible to participate. The student with the most correct predictions will win a $200 scholarship, while 5 runner-ups will each win a $100 scholarship. Item number 2, please be advised county offices will be closed on Tuesday, November 4th for Election Day and Thursday, November 6th for Return Day. Offices will also be closed on Tuesday, November 11th in honor of Veterans Day. The Sussex County Council will not meet November 4th or November 11th. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be held on Tuesday, November 18th at 10 a.m. Thank you, sir. Mr. President.
Mr. Phillips.
While you're on the schedule, what does it look like around Thanksgiving? Do we have a meeting on the 25th?
We have one meeting on the 18th for the whole month of November. We have 3 meetings in December. After today, we have 4 meetings left.
First meeting in December would be?
Second.
Great, thank you.
Jim Hicken. Lease assignment, Universal Forest Products.
Good morning. I'm here to discuss, as you said, a lease assignment for one of our industrial park tenants. The lease is currently held by Universal Forest Products. They'd like to assign it to their current tenant, Delmarva Insulation. You may remember 2 years ago, David Rutt was here and discussed the whole confusion with that lease and recommended a memorandum of understanding that cleared up some of that confusion about things like the size of the lot, whether they had the ability to sublease at the time, and then also said that if their subtenant decided to build or to buy the building, that council consented to the assignment of the lease. So that was 2 years ago. Delmarva Insulation has since decided to buy the building, which triggers the assignment of the lease. We had discussed with our attorneys whether there was any need to come back to you because that MOU had been signed and did provide your consent. Their consensus was we should come back and explain to you what was going on, give you a chance to discuss it, and also just to let you know what's happening with the tenants in the industrial park. I don't know if you have any other questions. I do have a motion. If you feel like that's appropriate.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council approves the assignment of the lease between Sussex County and Universal Forest Products, Eastern Division, Inc., dated 10 April 1991, to Delmarva Insulation, Inc.
I'll make a motion.
Pleasure, Council. Motion, Mrs. Deaver, second. Mr. Cole, any questions?
Yeah, I have a question. Once they've bought the building, what is the agreement on what kind of services we provide? And that can change from time to time. How is that handled in the lease itself? Is there a clear understanding in that lease or what?
I'd have to look at the lease.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure probably like all the other leases, mm-hmm. we provide utilities, water, electric, right. and sewer to the property. I don't think they reference if they reference telephone, but then it's up to them, you know, to pay for that.
But that's not within the lease then, okay.
Phillips?
The lease amount being $1,444 a year seems extremely low, correct?
Correct.
But this amount will be extended to the subleasee, to the person who they lease to, correct?
It'll be $1,444 for the next 65, 70 years until the end of the lease.
Do we have and that's for 7.22 acres?
Correct.
Do we have extra capacity in the industrial park if other companies wanted to come in and set up shop for business in the county?
Right now, there's one official lot left that's about 5 acres. And when we redefined the universal forest lot, that left us with about 1.5 acres that we hadn't considered before. But those would be the only 2 lots that are available.
And is there demand? I mean, or has there been capacity for as long as you can remember?
We get calls occasionally. There's nobody waiting for a lot right now.
Do that.
You know, but they keep coming up. You know, Cooper Bearings a few years ago, Willie Propane across from that 5-acre lot. So there have been calls, and like I said, there's no waiting list right now. Nobody's knocking on the door right this minute, but these things pop up, and you know, those are 2 examples.
I guess just at first blush, it seemed awful cheap for 7.22 acres in an industrial park. But
they were some old leases that were done years ago,
and
we're pretty much sometimes stuck with some decisions that were made by previous councils, and this could be an example of that, is all I could say, Vance. I'm not.
Mr.
Moore.
Yes, initially this indicated that it was roughly 17 acres plot, and a couple years ago there was a memorandum of understanding that was entered into by this council that said, let's get the legal description right. So it went from 17 acres down to the 7.22 acres. And as part of that agreement, it allowed not only them, but their subsequent tenant to assign their lease. And that was entered into at the time that they got a tenant. So at that time, they were allowed to go ahead. This council said, once you get that tenant, you can't assign it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was back in 2012. That's what Mr. Hickman referred to.
That's why I said you've already pretty much agreed to consent. Mm-hmm.
Right. But prior to that, Everett, you had a situation where they had 17 acres or something assigned to these people?
Yes, it had been referred to as 17 acres before.
Right. So I guess during that negotiating and coming up with a new lease, the county got land back. And they got a way to extend their lease, and there was an agreement.
Well, that was part of the confusion over the years. Was, you know, they had an option to add to the property. It started out at 5 acres or so, you know, with an option to add, I think, up to 24 more acres.
Right.
And then over the years, they, you know, there were letters that came that they wrote that said,
right,
you know, we're exercising that option on part of it. You know, there was never any legal paperwork done that added that to the lease. We never charged them rent for it, and so it kind of came down to all they've ever been paying rent on was that 7.2 acres.
Okay.
Any more questions, the council?
Defined it.
We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Oh, yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Lank.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We have one item of old business this morning. It's the application for Adele A. H. Fluharty, conditional use number 1995. It's an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an excavating company storage of equipment and office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 5.34 acres, more or less, Land lying east of Route 279, Camp Arrowhead Road, 260 feet south of Route 279A, Waterview Road, with a 911 address of 22379 Camp Arrowhead Road, Lewis, Delaware, with a tax map ID of District 234, Map 12, parcel number 84. The Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on August 21st of 2014. Rendered their decision on September 11, 2014. The council did hear their public hearing on October 14th of 2014. Before you have a copy of the report of the commission, which was in the packet. On September 11th, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1995 for Adele H. Fluharty for an excavating company storage of equipment and office based upon the record made during the public hearing for the following reasons. One, the use is an existing one that has grown from a very small business on the applicant's property where the applicant's family resides. Based on this growth, a conditional use is required. Two, the property is well-maintained and the area of the business is screened from view. Three, although there was some opposition to this application, the issues can be resolved through conditions placed on the approval. Four, I do not believe that this use adversely affects traffic in the area. Five, the use is generally across the road from a similar, yet more visible, conditional use for a well drilling operation. Six, with the conditions and limitations placed upon this use, it will not adversely affect neighboring properties or the community. Seven, the use provides a benefit to Sussex County residents by providing a convenient but screened location for excavating services on a property owned by the applicant. Eight, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to the existing structures on the property. No additional structures shall be permitted. B, all entrances and roadway improvements shall be subject to DLDOT approvals. C, there shall not be any permanent outside storage of junked or inoperable vehicles, equipment, parts, or similar items. D, all dumpsters or trash receptacles shall be screened from view of neighboring properties or roadways. E, any security lighting shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. F, the areas for parking vehicles and equipment shall be shown on the final site plan and clearly marked on the site itself. G, all oils, hazardous substances, fluids, and similar substances shall be stored inside in accordance with all applicable laws and regulations and shall be disposed of the same way. H, the hours of operation shall be from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And J, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Mr. Ross, carried with 4 votes to forward this application to the council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 4-1 with Mr. Burton abstaining since he was not present during the public hearing.
You got a minute? Or if we said, commission said that the application resides there. Now, that was a reason. But if they want to move out, I mean, does that make any difference? They're not tied to the land there, are we?
No, it was a statement based on the record of the public hearing.
Okay. Right. And if one of the buildings needs to be rebuilt, can they do that?
They could rebuild the buildings that exist on the premise. They just the condition was that there not be any additional buildings right. related to the business.
Okay, well, I'm just property. Concerned about them being able to rehab or renew an old building.
Sure,
so they could
renovate an existing building.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, thank
Lawrence.
You.
Oh, Lawrence, you on number 7, it says that the use provides a benefit, providing a convenient but screened location. In all a lot of the opposition, most of them, if not all of them, referenced the loss of trees and stuff that opened up some. Is my understanding some trees were planted back, or they've got it screened again, or they?
There's been some trees, from what I understand. Mm-hmm. There have been some trees replanted, and there's a section of fencing that's been put up. I don't know the exact location of either. Haven't been on the site.
Okay.
Since the public hearing.
No, the applicant's been willingly doing that. Okay. And as we all know, that applications like this don't stay with the individual, they run with the land. So if something did get sold in the future, we wouldn't be able to control that screening that the current applicant has put up. Is it possible, folks, that we could add a condition that would just say that a buffer of trees and or fence, I guess, which they've already done, to be determined, should be erected to be determined by the planning and zoning at the site plan approval process. In other words, let planning and zoning determine if there is a need, and if there is a need that they can appropriately, and they may have already done it. I think my understanding is they've already done it.
Well, I don't know how much they've done. I just know there's been trees planted, and there's some sections of fence that have been installed.
Is there a way to make a recommendation that we just have planning and zoning determine a buffer of trees or fencing, or a combination of both?
If the council so chooses, it would be an additional condition we have to impose by council.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That could not be amended by the commission once it's a condition by council.
Okay, but can we just put a condition in that would be up the decision of the Planning and Zoning Commission?
So
to determine whether they're, because they may have already done it, they may say there are sufficient trees there, but that they will remain and there will be a buffer of 10 feet or 20 feet or something like that.
Are you looking at something that would say the final site plan, which shall include a tree and fence buffer, shall be subject to the review and approval of Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission?
I would believe that would sound awfully flexible and let our experts determine if and what's needed.
Mr. Lang, from a planning zoning standpoint, does that sound okay?
It's done quite often on subdivisions, on residential planned communities, on a few conditional uses. I can't think of one specifically, but I'd have to do some research to find it. But if you did so state, you're adding an additional condition, if the council so chooses, that the final site plan shall include a landscape buffer and I'm not sure if you're asking just for the area that was changed, mm-hmm. or are you talking about the whole buffer, the whole problem thing,
what I was hoping is planning and zoning would
make the determination
is what.
So what we would need to be to establish what was removed and right. what the commission thought was appropriate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that they're more familiar with it than we are in that aspect. And just keep in mind that, you know, the purpose of the AR zoning is to promote compatible mixtures of, you know, low density residential uses and typical agricultural uses. And your office, Lawrence, has determined this not to be a grandfathered in use, correct?
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I thought it pre-existed then.
Right.
And then when research came out and the statements were made in public hearing by the applicants, and then Mr. Fluharty, George, the mm-hmm. original developer of the project or the parcel, we found that it was 1974, which is a couple years after zoning started,
okay.
which mm-hmm. we started actually in 68. Mm-hmm. And we created a comprehensive zoning map in 71. So 3 years after, I had no idea. Because my remembrance of it was something was always there.
Right, that's what I've always thought it was always there. So anyway, so you determine that's why we're here. Otherwise, it would be a grandfathered in use. So what's nice about this, I mean, I think if we try to make it compatible with the use that's been there for so long and the new development that has occurred, and by putting a few trees in, which have already been done, I believe, will make both sides somewhat happy, and the business can continue and. And there'd be nothing to stop anything.
So I'll ask the question, since the applicant has already installed, planted some trees mm-hmm. and installed some fencing, if it would be acceptable to council that the final site plan shall include a landscape buffer with or without fencing.
Yes.
An option of the applicant and the commission subject to commission approval.
They might find what it
is. Subject to the approval of the commission.
Right, and they might see what has been done there and find it appropriate. And what I'm expecting to happen. Okay.
What happened based on what I understood from some of the neighbors, a lot didn't even realize it was there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. the trees came down, then they could see some of the equipment through yards. Thereby, they raised questions.
Well, don't we actually have a buffer requirement between two different kinds of uses?
We have buffer requirements in the subdivision ordinance as it relates to subdivisions and RPCs, but nowhere else except. There is some issues where if it's a commercial zone and you have a parking lot because of lights, then thereby you can require a fence and or screening, which is hedges, so that the lights are
dissipated. That comes pretty close to what we're doing, I think.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mr. Lank, do you have exact language now? I saw you making some notation.
I tried.
I suspect that we'll be asked to read a
If I can, and I just suggested, and I asked a question about the fencing just to make sure. The final site plan shall include a landscape buffer, comma, with or without fencing, subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. That would be item J, if you so choose.
Are they done, Mike? Okay.
Mr. Wilson.
Well, I picked up one of my fellow councilman's words here, is control. And that's the last thing that I want people to think, this council's in the big deal of making controls of all property. I have talked to my constituents all the way from Bridgeville to Georgetown, everywhere, everybody I talk to, including lawyers, and no one thinks that we should put buffers up on GR land. No one. The reason is, if they don't like the looks of their property, they can put it up themselves. It's not, I own a farm, it starts at 5 acres, we're gonna start at 5 acres, next thing it'll be 10 acres, 20 acres, it won't be no end. People drive by and don't like the looks of my property. Such people as Mr. Cole here would make her come up here before this council and say, let's put up a buffer. They don't like the looks of Mr. Wilson's land. I'm telling you, we cannot start this. And this man has gone way out on a limb, said he would put all the buffers up as needed, all the fences needed. Why in the world are we trying to put stiffer laws and more regulations into what we already got? It's silly to think we're going to go any further. We should stop today, vote on the planning zoning recommendation, and go from there.
Well, Sam, that's because
I know, Mr.
the
Cole.
Application runs with the land, not with the individual. So
that's right.
If new individuals come in, they could.
Lord help me if I ever
I think the Fluharties have taken the steps needed, and this is
that's
just
right.
puts
I,
it into place and protects the.
That is
everybody.
My argument. I just got to saying he is willing. He is willing on his own. Planning zoning has made their agreements. Why in the world are we butting in any further and trying to make stiffer laws?
All right, well, I'll make a motion that we amend the conditions to add, with that, you said J?
That would be J.
Did you want to read that
one more time? What we have been doing, Mr. Cole, in the past, we have been reading the short title, then making an amendment to the condition. And that is an ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an excavating company storage of equipment and office to be located on certain parcels of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 5.34 acres, more or less. And you were asking, your motion is to amend condition.
No, just add. It's
8I. I believe there was already, is that what you were doing, Mr. Lang, inserting?
Well, we could add J, or you just make it a part of I, either one.
Yeah.
Either, that's fine to leave it as part of I, just an addition. Yeah.
That'd be fine. Amend I.
And that would read, and Mr. Lang, look for your help, the final site plan to include a landscape buffer with or without fencing, which shall be subject to review and approval, Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission.
What I had.
That would be my motion.
I'll second your motion.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, I think it's more reasonable.
Mr. Cole.
I think it's reasonable also. I think it's the applicant's already done most of this, and I don't believe there's going to be any impact financially or to stop his business that we've had. My vote's yes.
I'm going to vote no. I'm very comfortable that Planning and Zoning has looked at this and has come up with the appropriate set of conditions.
Wilson.
No, absolutely no. If we're very comfortable the way it is now, why are we changing it? To get more control. The word is control. And I'm not in favor of controls. It's America. We should have some, a little bit of common sense. If you don't like your neighbor's side of you, either buy his farm or move.
I can't top that. I do understand George's issue, I guess, but at the same time, I find it interesting that planning and zoning did not require any buffer. They felt comfortable with this. This is not a new piece of project going in behind somebody's house. It's a project that's been there since 1973, apparently. And the applicant has already put in some trees and a fence, and I would hope that the applicant, certainly by doing that, he is willing, if need to be, to put some more trees up there if that's something that needs to be done. So I'm going to vote no. Motion defeated.
Okay, at this time, would you like me to read the short title with the conditions?
Please.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for an excavating company storage of equipment and office to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 5.34 acres, more or less, for reasons given by planning and zoning as 1 through 7, with the conditions 8A through I as read by Mr. Lank.
Pleasure, Council.
I'll move for adoption.
Mr. Deaver makes a motion to approve. Mr. Phillips seconds. Any questions on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes. I'm going to agree with planning and zoning, although I understand the other side of the issue. I think if the business were something proposed, that would be a different story for me. But this has been there since 1974. So that's in addition to planning and zoning's thoughts on this. So I do agree with planning and zoning.
Mr. Cole?
No, I vote yes.
For?
Planning and zoning. Mr.
Phillips?
I'll vote yes. I believe, obviously, it's an appropriate use as it's been there for such a long time with little controversy. I think that the owner has demonstrated an interest in working with the community. I think planning and zoning has done a good job in its conditions.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes for planning and zoning.
I'm also going to agree with planning and zoning's conditions and reasons, and I'm going to vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir. Grant request, Mrs. Jennings.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of council. I have one grant for your consideration. It is the Rehoboth Concert Band. They're requesting $2,000 contribution to assist in the expenses of purchasing additional percussion equipment, building up their music library, renting venues for their concerts, and paying operating expenses. They are a band that is comprised of different age and ability musicians all over the county. Last grant received was $700, which is $500 from Mr. Cole, $100 from Mr. Vincent, and $100 from Mr. Phillips.
Pleasure, Council.
Not really interested in participating this time.
Okay.
Mr.
Cole.
Are you...
Sure.
You want to... Okay. If you notice, the first concert, if you read their letter, is at Sussex Central High School. Mm-hmm. And they do play throughout. They are called the Rehoboth Band, and I believe that it was recognized last time that they do, you know, provide quite a bit of entertainment throughout the county, and many of their members do come from the county. They were asking for $2,000. Mr. Vincent is offering $100. I'm sorry. Mrs. Deaver, anybody else?
Yeah, I want to.
Sam, would you like to contribute? They are first ones at Sussex Central High School, and quite a few of them. Would you like to give it $100, Sam?
I'll give $100.
Mr. Wilson,
$100.
Yes. Yeah.
$100?
Yes.
So that I'll give $1,000, and then with the $100 from Mr. Wilson,
myself, Mrs. Deaver.
Yeah, $1,300.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second.
Second.
Mr. Phillips, to grant $1,300 to Rehoboth Concert Band for operating expenses, being $1,000 from Mr. Cole's account and $100 from Mrs. Deaver's account, my account, Mr. Wilson's account. Questions on the motion? Mr. Deaver.
Isn't this not based at Central Sussex High School? Isn't it based at CAPE?
It's the Lewis River.
But they're playing in Sussex Central.
But it's okay. All right.
It's just the first concert. They have concerts throughout the county.
Okay, fine. Good.
More questions on the motion?
So who's the band?
It's called
the band. Is it a county band? What?
No, it's called the Rehoboth Concert Band.
They play around the county every location.
And they're playing in Sussex Central, and they play many places, and their musicians come from all over.
Any more questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Entertain a motion to go into executive session for pending potential litigation and land acquisition. Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on that motion? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. We're going to go downstairs.
Thank you.